こんにちは。
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 こんにちは。今日は特別編ということでゲストの方にお越しいただいています。文字起こしのテキストも同時にリリースしているのでチェックしてみてください。ハートフォードシャー大学宇宙物理研究センター准教授の小林千秋さんです。イェイ。
ようこそ。
よろしくお願いします。
よろしくお願いします。今、ロンドン、UK にいらっしゃる。あ、ロンドンではないのか。ロンドン
のオックスフォードです。
一回行ったことあるんですけど、めちゃくちゃ綺麗ですよね。
そうですね。古い街並みで。
朝、ちょっと時差があるので、そちらは今朝っていうことなんですけど。
そうなんです。若干眠い。
すいません、朝っぱらから、本当に。急に呼びつけたみたいな感じなんですけど。マイケルからちょっと背景だけ。
Oh, yeah.
説明してもらって。
Well, we discussed your paper, that, described this mystery about the origins of gold, and I guess more specifically the quantity of gold in our universe. And there's a bit of a discrepancy there. And, we found that very interesting. And so I thought I would send you an email and and ask if you wanted to share some more details about that. And you're extremely cool for almost right away. You responded and said, yeah, sure. I'll come on and talk about it. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Actually, at that time, I was receiving quite a lot of email from many journalists.
Wow.
Can I talk with you, or I'd like to write an article and so on. So I was actually in the mood that I'm responding emails so quickly.
Oh,
usually
so
I'm not very good at responding emails. So.
Wow, so we got lucky.
Oh, very lucky.
Yeah, I'm also happy to have this opportunity today. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, it's really an honor. And this particular topic is really deep and fascinating. I think it has a lot of implications for how we think about the world and the universe and how it has evolved and sort of our place in it too. So can you maybe give an easy introduction to the topic and why, I mean, where should we start, you know, with... Most people have a pretty not that complex an understanding of space, but I think we have an understanding of like the periodic table and what elements are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why I do this, you already explained it exactly. I wanted to know, I think many people wanted to know why we are here. Where do we come from? Mm. What is the universe? We heard about universe, but we actually don't know what is it.
Mm.
On the other hand, when we look at stars at night, it's beautiful. We were told if you have a telescope, you can see many more structures like galaxy, not just our galaxy we live in, but also other galaxies. We also heard there are many kinds of galaxies, different shapes. And I think many people have seen some picture of galaxies, which look really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So since when I was a kid, I wanted to know just what is it? Why there are such different shape of galaxies and what they are doing? And later on, I learned that the galaxy is actually not just as it is, but it's made of stars and it's changing the shape as a function of time all the time since the universe started. And then I went in more, how do they evolve then?
Mm.
And what's happening there? So stars form in a galaxy. So in the beginning, there is nothing.
Mm.
Just we call it just gas cloud, basically hydrogen and a bit of helium. And once stars form, there is very different thing happen. Do you know why stars can shine? Why we can see stars? In particular, the sun. Why it's bright? It's because of some physics.
Fusion? Photons?
Yeah, we call it nuclear. Yeah, it's thanks to the nuclear physics. Fusion is exactly the word. So in the beginning, mostly 75% of matter is in hydrogen, and the rest is a bit of helium, which is formed at a big explosion of the universe. It's called Big Bang. In the sun, more hydrogen is, we call it burned, but it's not chemical burning, it's nuclear burning. It's a slightly different process, but for the conversation, I call it burn. Hydrogen burn into helium, and helium burn into heavier elements, namely carbon. So from these nuclear energy, you know, when the nucleons, smallest nucleon is proton and neutrons, when they are combined to become chemical element, they become more stable. So that's create more energy. So that's the main reason. So that it's very, very, I'm now started talking about the universe, galaxy, and the stars. The scale went down very quickly, small scale. I'm talking about very tiny scale now. I'm going to explain how this tiny, tiny particle, it's called the nucleus, is formed. And because of this process, the sun emits a lot of energy, and that is the brightness we are seeing now. That's the luminosity source. So I said the sun shines, and then because of the element production, because helium is formed from hydrogen. So origin of elements already there. So what will happen after that? The sun can create probably only carbon, but more massive stars, like the stars heavier than 10 solar mass can produce many more elements. Carbon, oxygen, silicon, sulfur, calcium, and in the end, iron, which is one of the most stable element of the periodic table. So many stars, very massive stars, continue the nuclear reaction at the center of the star up to iron. And after iron, some miracle happens. It's called another stellar explosion called supernovae. In Japanese, it's Choshinse. So the Choshinse is, it's called Shinsei, new star in direct translation in Japanese, but it's actually not a new star. It's a death of a star. So star, during the life of the star, star form elements from low mass, from helium, hydrogen, helium to iron. And at the very end of their lives, it explodes. And this event produced a lot of iron. So now we looked down a couple of first lines of the periodic table now. So those elements are all produced in stars, except for the very beginning. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, up to there, small amount can be formed during Big Bang, at the very beginning of the universe. But after carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, all those elements are formed inside the stars and exploded to interstellar medium at the death of the stars.
It's so fascinating to think about the universe evolving, and part of it being these... it reminds me of like alchemy. You know, the alchemists were trying to turn... aluminum into gold or something like that. And we kind of think of the alchemists as having a silly idea that wasn't possible. But inside of these stars, it really is transforming one element into a different element, right?
Yeah, indeed. So stars are kind of alchemists, except they are using nuclear power, not chemical power. So it's on the earth, it's very difficult to create different elements. Mm-hmm. So it's possible with, by building a big nuclear reactor. So basically, people forced to hit particles each other. And then if you are lucky, you can create some special particle you wanted to have. Mm. Apart from that, harder. So using fusion, the nuclear power plant is the opposite. So it's rather breaking one heavy element into a smaller element. So that's the opposite process. Nuclear fission that's ongoing, like uranium from uranium plutonium to lighter element. There is an attempt to have a fusion instead to create nuclear energy also on the Earth, but it's extremely difficult. Also, technically very dangerous, so therefore it's not used yet. On the other hand, the Sun is a very massive system, and inside there, the temperature is extremely high, also density is extremely high too. So therefore, it's possible for them quite easily to form helium from hydrogen. And also the even heavier stars can form much heavier elements. So that's the main reason, the difference, big difference in the temperature and density. Plus, physical condition is also there. That's a big detail of the structure of the star. But because of this special condition in the universe, elements can be produced by stars.
この間マイケルからこれをもらって Can you see this is a periodic table?
Periodic table in a glass, nice glass plate, I can see.
Yes, and it actually contains the その素材
Piece of stars.
Yes.
Piece of
stars.
But that's also stellar dust. That's what I wanted to say.
Right.
So we're stellar.
They are made by stars.
We're also Origin. Stellar dust, right?
That's correct.
And are we fancy stuff or are we like below carbon stuff? Are we, do we, we have iron. We use some of the heavier elements too, right?
Hmm.
Yeah, we have iron. Also, we have calcium, a bit of heavy elements as well. A large fraction is hydrogen and oxygen, I think.
Hmm.
But we are stellar, mostly.
Hmm. そうか、We are made of, 星からでき、星が作ったものからできてる。
できている。
できてる。自分も。That's so cool. I wish my class was like this, then I would have paid attention. なんか、なんだろう、自分が学生の時、この周期表を、その元素記号と周期表を暗記するところから始まったから、もうその時点でシャッターが降りてしまったんだけど、こういうふうに説明していただけるとめちゃくちゃ楽しい。なんかちゃんと聞いとけばよかったっていう、そう気持ちになりますね。So it's actually pretty romantic.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to speak in that way, so that's another way, but yes.
Is our existence romantic? Do you see the universe as like a romantic thing? Because in cosmological terms, the universe itself has a birth, it has a death, it kind of has a peak, it kind of resembles like a life or it has a story, I guess.
It's evolving, yeah? The universe is not static.
Mm. And it has characters. And I guess we're one of the characters, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So in similar way, stars depend on the property of stars. They have a different life, galaxy also. Depending on the shape of the galaxies, they also have a different story. Yes, each object are the galaxies, stars, and also human beings have a different story.
And there's so many different kinds of stars, different sizes, different. They have different elements within them, I guess. Like originally, there were stars that did not contain metal, right?
That's correct. You are touching the evolution side already. That's very good. Yeah, exactly. So when I said the big one, only light elements up to lithium is produced. So the very beginning, the first star should contain only elements up to lithium. So we call it, this is a very technical word already, the first stars. As the name stands, the many astronomers trying to look for already 50 years effort to look for the first star in the nearby universe. Because the universe is so big, we can't really see the stars in the very distant universe in other galaxies by result. Exception is very nearby a galaxy like Andromeda Galaxy. Now with a big telescope, it is possible to resolve into stars inside one galaxy. But apart from that, it's harder. In the galaxy, however, so we are one of the stars in the galaxy, and the nearby stars can be observed quite well. So from these nearby stars, people look for, is there any stars that do not have any element? So now there is a very good aspect of atomic physics kicks in. So if there is some element inside stars, you know, the element have a special signature, so it can absorb certain light at a given wavelength. So that's called the spectra. So the very famous example in sun, if you take the spectra of the sun, there is a shape, it's called black body. So some, there is some peak where the luminosity, the intensity is highest. But also there is some very narrow line. I think people can see, have seen some spectra of the sun. There is a many of a line where the intensity is low. Very, it's a very narrow area. Only specific wavelengths is absorbed, and therefore the intensity is low. So these, from these analysis of this absorption lines, there are many kinds of absorption lines, it's possible to identify how many elements should exist in the star. The sun has many lines because sun contains a lot of elements up to uranium, small amount, but the sun also contains. So this is a very clear example that the sun is definitely not the first star. It's already contains a lot of elements. And we also know that the sun is on the middle age of the universe.
Tune in.
Much older stars as well. In particular, slightly above the plane of the galaxy. I'm now talking about where we are living inside the galaxy. So we are not living in the center of the galaxy either. Our galaxy, it's called Milky Way, have some shape. Its central part is very dense. It's called bulge. I think bulge can stand also for the Japanese. Bulge is a central marui kozou ga atte. And then there is a disk structure alongside. So it's like a plane. You can imagine the dish. The plate stuck together, two of them. If you stuck together, you can have a dish. So we are living on the plane and then slightly outskirts of the plane, not in the center. So around there, various types of stars, old stars, young stars. But if we look above the plane, that area, we know that there are more many more older stars located there. The reason is the stars formation is ongoing on the plane, therefore still young stars are forming on the plane, but above the plane, the star formation was happening in the past, but not anymore. So that's the reason.
Is there a correlation between star age and distance from the center?
The statistics, yes, to the frequency. For example, if you ask me how much fraction of stars are older than the sun, the fraction is high in the center, low in the outskirts of the plane. Even on the plane, there is a radial gradient. The central part is the oldest, and then outskirt becomes younger and younger. But the, you know, age of the stellar population, now I'm talking about a given radius, there are many stars already located. So this, the age of the stellar population is not constant. Even at a given radius, there is old stars, young stars, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking about the average age of the stellar population as a whole.
Is our star old, or is it it's youngish, or it's kind of average, or how does it fit in? Is it pretty typical?
Yeah, so the sun, that from another analysis of elemental abundance, also isotopic ratio, that I will talk maybe more later, we know that the sun is 4.6 giga year old.
And the universe is
13.8. The universe is, yeah, 13.8,
right.
So 138
億年.
So I said middle age is roughly. The older is roughly half.
半分ぐらいか。
Yeah. And so, these elements existed in the sun should have formed at the beginning half of the universe, somewhere.
So the first stars that you mentioned earlier, the really old ones, they're from どれぐらい、そのレンジとしては何年前から何年前ぐらいの間のやつを指すんですか?
So now they tends to be old. They are not necessarily very, very old stars. The reason is, all what we know is they don't contain any heavy elements inside them. If it's formed the same area as our sun, it should be, I don't have the number exactly in front of me, but about, let's say, 1 giga year old, or even older than that. So that 10億年以上、年より。However, the evolution of the elements, chemical abundance, depends on the location of galaxy, also depends on the type of galaxies as well. So in a very rare area, it is still possible to have very, we call it the low metal stars, but the stars that contain only small amount of heavy elements. It's also possible to form those stars as well. It's hard, it becomes harder. You can imagine. So if you create more elements in the big universe, it will get harder to form the first star. That's for sure. But also it may be still possible to form in a very rare area. So what I'm saying that the first stars tends to be old. And then people are trying to look for it.
Would there need to be some special conditions in that part of the universe in order to have the low or no metallicity stars preserved?
That's a very good question. So the heavy elements, if there is heavy elements, so gas can easily cool down. So it is becomes easier to form smaller mass of stars. While at the very beginning, there are only the elements up to lithium, and they are not efficient cooler, so that the gas cloud does not emit, does not remove the energy there. So to form stars, you know, there is a very smooth structure in the beginning, but to form stars, some area has to collapse toward the center and then start making the very high density area. Because of the high density, the temperature gets higher and then stars collapse even further later on. But to start that process, it's much easier to if we have heavy elements there, so that the gas cloud can cool quickly. At the very beginning, however, there is no such element, so therefore things start slowly. So by somehow only using hydrogen, that's the majority of the element, we have to have high-density area. So there is quite a lot of people working on the formation of the faster stars. The process is different from the formation of the sun. And the conclusion is what people are finding now is the faster star should be very massive, at least more massive than 10 times of the sun, maybe 100 times. So those very massive stars should have formed at the very beginning of the universe and explode. And then there is also a stellar physics relation where all the stars, the life is showed up. So it's a bit similar to the human life. You know, if you're very old and massive, fat, your lifetime is maybe you're not so healthy now, so your lifetime can be short. Hmm. It's a totally different process, but massive stars don't live very long. So such hundreds of masses of stars don't live very long. So they die, explode very quickly, and distribute heavy elements in a very short time scale.
Why is it that they don't last long?
So just nuclear process happening very quickly. So in a very short time scale, a lot of hydrogen burn into helium and so on. So that's the time scale of the nuclear reaction.
And what would happen to those first stars that don't contain metal? So a lot of stars now, when they die, they reach the iron phase and collapse because they don't have the outward pressure. But the early stars, would they turn into iron, or would they, what sort of what happens at the end of the life of one of those early stars?
Okay, so all those the first stars start from only like the element. Once nuclear reaction happens from helium, it's possible from carbon in the very center. And then they also form very heavy elements up to iron, and they explode as supernovae. The property may be a bit different from supernova in nearby universe where already chemical elements existed. But that's again very hot topic of this astrophysics now. What are the first stars and how do they explode as a normal supernova? That's a big question still ongoing. Huh. But it's likely that they also explode as supernova, and maybe different type of supernova, and produce elements such as iron. So from these elements, now the second generation stars formed, and they still have mostly hydrogen, helium, small amount of iron is there. So now we know those are we found, the second generation stars in the nearby universe. There are stars which contain only small amount of iron. There is an absorption line in a spectra of iron. So there is iron, but not so much. We can compare this fraction by comparing to the spectra of the sun. Mm. The sun clearly a lot of elements, but in those second generation of stars, we call it metal poor stars. So in astronomy, we call heavy elements as metals, but it's different in a chemistry. Metals are different meaning, but astronomers are just simplify often the things. So the all elements heavier than the lithium from carbon onwards is called metals. Mm-hmm. So we call them a metal poor star, extremely metal poor star. So there is another survey to find these extremely metal poor stars in the solar, near the solar system. And we know that some stars are 10 to the minus 7, so 10 million times lower quantity of iron than in the sun. So it's very small amount of iron and heavy elements there.
Wow, it's amazing that there's a way to detect it like that.
Yeah, if it's a video call, I can show you the spectra just in front of you, but maybe you can Google it later. The spectra of the sun. You see the rainbow color structure. Usually that's a spectral feature. And then on top of that, you see many black lines. Many of them you can see. Well, if you search the spectra of extremely metal poor star, again, similar rainbow structure, rainbow bar, but only countable number of lines
And
because of the difference.
this is due to the properties of the elements within the star.
That's
And
right.
this periodic table, with your research, you provided this very cool periodic table that shows what stage of the universe's evolution each element was produced in, I suppose. So there's an order in which these elements appeared. So at a certain point in time, these elements did not exist anywhere in the entire universe, right?
That's correct.
And then they were created and introduced into the universe over time, and there's kind of a chronological order to the periodic table.
That's correct.
So it starts in the top left, right?
Yeah, so the top left up to top left and also helium, so the top two corners are formed at the beginning. Hydrogen and helium, lithium, they are formed at the very beginning. Nothing else. And later on, some elements are produced, carbon, oxygen, and lighter elements can come slightly earlier than the heavier elements. Iron comes slightly later.
This might be a silly question, but is there going to be new elements that don't exist now but could come later?
Even on the Earth, nuclear physicists are trying to find the new elements, new nucleus. That's in the nuclear physics part, we are talking about only the central, very central component of the elements. So, using a nuclear facility I mentioned earlier, trying to create a new elements. It seems that as all the elements are very unstable, so even if people can succeed forming them, they don't stay very long, just decay into lighter element immediately. So nihonium, that's one of the new elements just recently discovered by a Japanese facility. That's one of the example. So people are still trying to make many elements beyond
So
that.
it's possible that there are a lot of new elements that are being born naturally with, without humans trying to make it, but then it just doesn't. It's not stable enough that it just disappears, and we just don't know that it ever existed.
That's correct. But theoretically, we know it, they may be formed, but they decay to rhenium. Rhenium, some of the rhenium, most of the rhenium is also unstable, so it's decay naturally for a long time. But compared to the age of universe, still it can be treated, or some of them can be treated as stable. So we can see rhenium if it's formed in the very old stars. But the other elements heavier than that, so in the periodic table, you can see some other elements as well. So my periodic table truncated at thorium and uranium. So that's the reason. Beyond that, even if stars form, these elements are so unstable that they don't exist so long. So we can't count in an astronomy point of view.
So it's possible that in some extreme events like a neutron star merger or something, that these unstable elements are created very briefly.
It is, yes, it is certainly possible, but they decay. And a physicist also calculates this decay as well. when we compare to the observation.
And we don't know, this is definitely a silly question, but we don't know what's happening like with elements inside black holes, right? Like, we don't know if there's some kind of, we don't know anything about that, right?
Like, we don't know.
Could there be new elements inside the black hole, but we just can't, you know? Because it's...
Yeah, we don't know. Yep.
Yeah.
What do you...
Maybe broken into an even smaller piece of elements. That's another possibility. In a very high density area, that can also dissolve into a smaller particle.
So we think we've discovered all of the stable elements already, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And scientists have very high confidence about having found all the stable elements in the universe.
That's correct. On the Earth, yes. Also in the solar spectra, most of the elements have been detected. Not all of them, but most of them. In other stars, however, not so many elements have been detected. Very roughly, half of the elements in the periodic table have been detected by somehow in stars. Some elements are very, very difficult to measure. I mentioned the existence of elements should be seen as an absorption line in the spectra. So what we astronomers are doing is take spectra of many stars and then analyze it. Some of the elements, however, show that such absorption line only in a very difficult area, a UV area, where the astronomy instruments are not so good. Unfortunately, the example of such element is gold. It's very difficult to measure gold in other stars. Only a handful number of stars showed us that they have a gold vein. But apart from that, we actually don't know much about gold.
Is that because of where the gold is in the star, or is it just because... it's very rare.
It's rare. Also, it's reason. The reason is in the periodic table. It's because of the atomic physics. That's also related. How how this absorption line is caused. So that depends on the structure of electrons around the nucleus. And some elements have such property, so they don't have many lines. Iron is the opposite. So iron create so many absorption lines. So that's why iron is one of the easiest elements to detect. Also, it's stable, so and abundant. So two factors you mentioned. It's abundant and also easier to observe because of the number of lines in the spectrum.
じゃあそのあるのかないのかよくわかんない。その見ても あるのかないのかなみたいな感じってことですか
That's right. So that it's, you know, we measure not just existence, the abundance. So sometimes, you know, because we don't see lines, we put an upper limit. If the element exists there, we should have seen the lines. So therefore, we can set an upper limit of the existence.
How do you feel about the Big Bang as a mystery, or because it all started from the Big Bang, and
that's right.
A lot of people struggle to understand what the Big Bang means, or like what does 13.8 billion years ago like mean. You know,
yeah, that's the start of the universe, and now it's a very standard theory. Most of physicists have no doubt there are quite a few observational evidence to support it. In terms of physics as well, theoretically, we can explain quite well the observational data. In the past, you know, some people questioned about the Big Bang, and even Einstein didn't believe initially that his equation showed the evolution of the universe. He didn't like it, so he added an extra term to make the universe stable. So that's one of the famous story. Later on, even Einstein admitted it. And then that's astronomers found the evidence of the expansion of the universe. The main person who did this is Edwin Hubble. So he measured the motion of galaxies around us. So it's not our galaxies, it's other galaxies outside of our Milky Way. And he measured the velocity of these galaxies and then found that more distant galaxies are escaping away from us more quickly. That's called Hubble law. Another French astronomer contributed to the same relation at the same time. So now the International Astronomical Union changed the official name. Now it's called Hubble-Lemaître law. So, but if you look at the old textbook of astronomy, it says Hubble law, but it's the same law. Anyway, from this motion, that means that the universe should be expanding. So that was the first direct evidence of expansion. And if you hear expansion, you can think, if you go back to the time, it must be small at the beginning. So that's the point we're talking about, the Big Bang.
Like really small, right?
Really small.
And I mean, I guess it starts well before before hydrogen, but it's weird to think that there was just hydrogen. And then if you just wait, right? So you have hydrogen and then you just wait. Eventually you'll have like grand pianos and like iPhones and like people talking, you know, and in some other star systems, you know, there's like insects piloting like strange vehicles and stuff. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
on these other planets.
But... I talked about already grand piano, but not the mobile phone and car. Those are harder. So in particular, mobile phone contain a lot of rare heavy elements. That's I haven't talked about it yet, but maybe a bit later. Yeah. Those have not formed at the beginning yet.
But our ancestors are like hydrogen atoms, or like, you know, hydrogen became conscious, right?
Yeah.
It's so weird to think in this way, like how Michael just said, like, so from the universe point of view, it really just waited, right? And it just happened. It's just, そのリアクションの積み重ねで今に至るというか。
That's right.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, so the key point, I guess, is so iron, although iron is stable, it's harder to make iron. So that's the key. So to start with, once you create iron, it becomes stable, but it's not easy to form. The starting is a smaller particle. Even at the very beginning, it's made of quarks, not even nucleons. So with three quarks, we have the basic particle, proton and neutrons. And then from the combination of the three quarks, we have a similar mass, proton and neutrons, but different property. The big difference is proton has an electric charge. So it's, you know, the plus current charge. So therefore, it's harder to combine two protons because of the repulsion force of the electric force. So that's a big boundary. Hydrogen, however, is made of one proton. That's the same thing. Hydrogen nucleus is equal to protons. So it's just one proton. It's It stays as it is. If you have two protons, it's harder to combine because of this electron force. It's not possible to easily form two protons. So diproton should be, but does not exist. It's possible to form a new nucleus from one proton and one neutron, but that's different particle.
Are you still there? Oh, did we lose her? Hello?
Hello.
It's totally frozen.
Maybe she lost connection?
I'm not sure if I should wait or start a new...
Well, she'll probably...
Meeting room.
She'll probably try to figure out what's going on, right? I'm assuming there's nothing I can
wonder,
really do.
I wonder if I should... No, I don't want to mute her. I wonder if she left and... Oh, yeah, she left, I think.
She's probably going to figure it out and she'll be back, right?
Yeah, I wonder if I should send her another invite or I can try and do that.
Oh.
Hello?
Oh, you're back.
Hey.
Thank God.
Yeah, battery ran out. Sorry, I am worried about this recording.
Oh, the battery. Honestly, it wasn't connection, so that's actually good.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
It's a bit, yeah, because I'm using this microphone and the extra drive, its battery ran out so quickly.
I see. Is it?
My computer's like that too.
Connecting. Yeah, I was not connecting. Usually this two hours of conversation, I thought there should be no problem, but I was not aware of that it's running out, so.
It's totally fine. We're happy you're back.
Yeah, there may be an issue of the recording. It's moving now, but shall we?
Okay.
What?
If it looks okay, then I think we can continue.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So you restarted the recording, or
no? It was it's still on. It was still on.
Okay. It should be okay then. Yeah.
I am not sure what happened during the cut off. Also, I am not sure about the saving of this data.
Well,
what will happen when I try?
We'll be crossing our fingers, I guess.
We just have to hope.
I wanted to ask, この分野の専門家でいることによる職業病というか、なんか、普段の人生がそれによって影響を受けてるなって思う時ってあったりしますか？
職業病というよりは、もともと考えることが好きで、なぜなぜと。小さい時から。なので、そのなぜなぜはさらに突き詰めていく傾向にあると思います。So since when I was a kid, I always ask why. When I look at stars, why they are shining? Why they exist? Why the galaxies are different? Pictures they show us. So I was keep thinking why also keep asking to other people, my parents, also other people, why look up the book, dictionaries and so on. So I kept doing this since when I was a kid. And now, daily life, I'm always thinking, what is this? Why is it like that? So that's, I think.
Why
indirectly affected?
Why do you think we're here?
To discover this evolution of universe and origin of elements. This is our purpose to live. That's my answer.
It is interesting. It's interesting to me that we can observe and that we, you know, we're aware of the universe. We don't understand everything, but, you know, the universe generated something which is observing itself.
Yep.
And that's us. And everything else in the universe doesn't, as far as we can tell, doesn't seem to be wondering why, you know, the deer isn't like, why am I nibbling grass? You know, so...
I'm sure that there are also other lives who are thinking about astronomy right now somewhere, different place. We just don't know whether they exist and we can't communicate with them.
Mm.
Do you think we will?
We will? I am not sure. I am sure that they exist because the universe is so big. Why we are the only one life? That's I am sure, but I am not sure whether we can contact. That's a lot of conditions should be there. We have to be we have to exist at the same time. We also have to live within the reachable distance, fairly nearby. Otherwise, we can't communicate. So that is not an easy condition. So I don't know whether we can talk to them.
Oh, isn't it possible that we're the only life?
Well, there is such a possible always, but possibility is low.
As like you were, like you said, you know, why do we, well, why does the universe, like, why does the universe exist, you know, or why should the universe, just one universe exist?
Just it's one like, universe, we know. There may be another universe that's called multiverse, now getting quite popular. So there may be also another universe with a different condition. We just can't see them. So we cannot reject the existence of other universe. But we know that we have only one this universe.
How do you think how do you think about life? Because, you know, we have the elements and the evolution is the evolution of the universe makes available or makes present more and more elements. And then, you know, we have the galaxies form and then we have stars. Or I guess stars might be first. I'm not sure, but how do you fit life into the evolution of the universe?
So the that depends on the definition of life. So life probably organic matter, so should contain not just helium with hydrogen and helium, but also oxygen and some other heavier elements. So the necessary condition to form life is probably you have to have a enough amount of heavy elements. So therefore, it will be difficult to form the life at the very beginning, right after the Big Bang. There may be the first life as well, which made from only light element. I don't know how they behave. But if we think about the life like us, it will be easier to form at later time, the last half of the universe, when the sun is developing. In particular, mobile phone, if we want to communicate with mobile phone each other, we have to have very heavy elements.
So when, if there's an intellectual life somewhere out there and trying to figure out what Earth is made of, can they detect all the metals that we're using? Or that's not how it works?
So how to detect the spectroscopic way, as I said, not all elements have an accessible line, accessible mm. with existing telescopes. So therefore, the answer is no.
Mm.
We just have to guess. So, but we, thanks to physics, you know, once we detect half of elements, we are actually very sure that the other similar elements should exist.
Mm.
How did you first become interested in space?
When I was a kid, my father took me to a planetarium in Shibuya.
Mm.
The very famous one is called Goto Planetarium. Mm. It's closed about 10 or 15 years ago, mm. unfortunately.
I went there.
But in the middle of Tokyo, it was a very nice planetarium. It's all the yeah. facility in a current standard, but it's a very nice place. I mm. loved it. I was very much fascinated. And I asked my dad, take me every month. They have a different program each month. I also begged my father, take me not to the kids show, but to the show for the senior people. I was the only one kid in the audience. But I'd love to hear more about the stories.
Mm.
So that was the first moment I really got into the stars.
Wow.
And then there was also exhibition at the planetarium. There are picture, nice picture of galaxies, also northern lights. That's also another my favorite thing to as a hobby. And those things are just beautiful. The pictures are so beautiful. I just wanted to see them and wanted to understand them.
Why do you think they're so beautiful?
I don't know. I think it's programmed in a sense. Not very scientific conversation now, but you know, if they are not beautiful, I was not interested in. So I think that deliberately galaxy have a beautiful shape so that we get interested in.
Because it is curious that we haven't evolved to process that what those look like, you know. It shouldn't be possible for animals to see Andromeda or nebula or, you know, any of these phenomena in space.
Yeah.
But they is
may be,
so
they
beautiful.
May be enjoying, but yeah. But we are clearly enjoying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, we have a very good eye as well. So our sensitivity is very good wavelength so that we can see a nice image of a galaxy. But if you take the galaxy only with infrared, the shape looks different, much more structure you will see. While if your eye is more sensitive to longer wavelengths, like beyond the infrared, the galaxy looked more very smooth, not very structured there. And even the stars are not shining like that. So we would see different images of galaxies.
そっか、だからたまたま、
yeah.
たまたまこう、なんだろう、そういう綺麗に見える、綺麗な感じに見ることができる仕組みになってるというか、like our eyes.
Yeah, I think, maybe by luck or maybe the fate.
Right, right.
Because the sensitivity, the peak of the sensitivity of our eye is the same as the peak of the sun. So the life is developed to, you know, optimized by the spectral future of the sun.
Right. そっかそっか。
What do you think the future of the universe looks like in terms of its evolution?
That is, again, a very good question. Currently, maybe it's expanding still, but at one point, expansion stops and then becomes smaller, big crunch, or keeps expanding. It's likely to be the latter, but that's cosmological observation is telling us now.
So it will keep expanding infinitely?
Infinitely. And then we run out the fuel to form stars. So now we are still forming stars, but later on, it's harder to form stars because many elements are already converted to heavier elements. Also, universe is expanding, so the galaxy get separated each other. So we see now Andromeda and also other galaxy as well, but we don't see them anymore. Plus, after the stellar explosion, the supernova I mentioned earlier, so the black hole is formed after the explosion. So there will be many more black holes floating around so that the interstellar area becomes more dangerous, and if you are likely to get close to black hole and then fall onto the black hole. That's another possibility. And if there are too many black holes floating, they get together each other and they merge. So black hole combine to become even more massive black hole. And a more massive black hole can absorb matter more quickly. So all matter may be falling into a supermassive black hole without emitting any light. So the universe may become just a boring place or maybe just a big black hole. We don't know.
That sounds pretty grim.
It seems to me like there are two opposing forces in the universe over time. And one would be the global increase in entropy, but there seems to be an accelerating local increase in order.
Yes.
And
The order means here.
Order as
yeah,
in...
I think what you mean, yeah. So the stars formed, there are more structures, but at one point, the environment becomes simpler. Yes.
And the density of that order seems to be increasing quite dramatically also.
What do you mean, order?
So, order as in, well, the opposite of disorder, I guess. But when we build things that are ordered, it can be, you know, the internet is a lot of ordered information, or the things that we build, you know, it could be a television or anything. We increase the entropy around us when we do so, but there is sort of this crystallized order locally that seems to be formed as a trade-off, at least by life forms that are building models of the world around them.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure.
There seems to be a pretty strong consensus on the increasing global entropy and sort of this inevitable entropic heat death. But what is going on with the accelerating local order is very interesting also, I think.
Yeah, so I think you are talking about the bounded system, for example, on the Earth. So in that area is separated from the expanse of the universe. So even if the universe expand, the sun does not expand. The sun stays. It's a isolated system. One big event we could have is the expansion of the sun. So once toward the end of the solar life, the sun will become bigger. It's not yet explosion, but just becomes a stellar evolution phase called red giant. And then during that moment, the Earth will be go inside the sun, and then it's too hot to survive there. So that will be the end of the earth, and that will be the end of all civilization we created on the earth.
And can't we just move, like, to the moons of Jupiter, maybe?
Well, the sun expands slightly after it absorbs earth. It reached the Jupiter quite soon. So we cannot avoid
So we have to go further.
We have to go further. We have to escape much away from the solar system.
What if... I mean, maybe we'll be digital by then, and we can contact aliens, and we can just sort of transmit.
Meet up.
We just transmit all of our information before.
Yeah,
the...
to build to it's like a DNA information, right? We send the information to the other place, and using the other stellar dust there, we can recreate our body. That maybe. Possible, I guess.
It would be interesting to combine all the information of two different civilizations from two different worlds. There must be some intergalactic internet. We just don't know how to, you know, we don't know
access.
The Wi-Fi password. Yeah. we don't know how to access it. But,
we don't know.
But it, do you think that there is some kind of network between stars? I mean, it would work on a very strange time scale, but would that...
Yeah, so we are doing at much lower level, but we are doing, right? When we send, for example, the satellite mission, we always put some message that even after the mission ended, the satellite traveled further. And then if some other life captured our satellite, they may be able to see the picture of us. Mm. So that level, we are already doing that.
Mm.
But we are not sending our message.
What would you ask the aliens, or what would you say to them if we made contact and it's like, Chiaki-san, you know, makasemasu. We need you to handle this situation.
Well, maybe I will tell them that what they shouldn't do. For example, don't cause a war, don't make a nuclear bomb. Even if you make it, never use it. So things I think I would like to tell them.
Like the lessons that we learned.
Yep.
I see. Well,
they'd probably be way stronger than us, though, right?
Yeah, we don't know. They may be the early stage. They may be medieval life, and they may be fighting each other, killing each other.
Like
they
a
may be more advanced.
Message yeah. from the future.
Yeah.
Do you there are weird ideas of people like in the CIA. They're doing some crazy psychedelic drugs and contacting some alien species. Do you think that there has been any contact with Earth from somewhere else? Is there, have any UFOs?
I don't think so.
You don't think any aliens have come to Earth before?
I don't think so. Although I'm not so much interested in, so I'm not following that all information, but I don't think so.
You don't follow like crop circles or whatever. A lot of people think that there are UFOs, and it's become a little bit, it's gained some popularity again recently.
Okay, really?
Mm-hmm. There were some anomalies that were seen by U.S. military aircraft. And it's, you know, it's unidentified, though. It's not like we don't know that it's aliens, but it is, it's a very interesting thing for, I think, human beings to think about is aliens and getting abducted or, you know, because we are aliens. Like, we are proof that this happens, you know, like creatures, you know, put stuff on their head and walk around. do business. I don't know what we're doing, but we're but we're definitely aliens to anyone else that would exist.
So a few months ago, the Venus alien bacteria was reported that they exist. Did you see the news?
Oh, in the atmosphere or something.
Yeah, right? Atmosphere. Well, yeah. So that turns to be an error.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's gone now.
I think there could be aliens underground on Mars. That's my yeah. favorite spot where I think aliens uh-huh. might be.
Why underground?
Because I think deep underground on Mars is kind of similar to deep underground on Earth. And we've found very hardy organisms deep underground on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, certainly not on the surface of Mars. That would be ridiculous.
Interesting.
So. 今一番こう研究してる中で注目してることとか、これが今気になってるみたいなことって何ですか？
in 天文の話で。
Anything that you're
so the well, we haven't actually talked about the last half of periodic table yet. So that's my recent interest. I said iron is most stable, but how elements heavier than iron should be formed. So that's the recent very hot topic in astronomy and nuclear physics as well. And then that's why I kind of knew that the formation of this periodic table up to iron, but only recently I expanded my model to cover all elements up to uranium. So that's why the paper is published this year. So my most interest part of astronomy is around that area now. Mm-hmm. How gold is formed? So the reason is there was there are many people working on this origin of these very heavy elements for a long time. But a big change happened in 2017 by the detection of gravitational wave. And that proved the existence of at least one neutron star merger. So there was the theory. I have heard about the theory many times during the research activities. But there was no proof for 40 years. And then suddenly one event is detected. So that changed the community very suddenly. So people now accepted, yes, neutron star merger exists, and they are indeed forming heavy elements. So there is also indirect observational evidence that very heavy elements are indeed formed there. One particular element, strontium, has been detected as a spectra. So that's very direct evidence. In addition to that, a heavier element, lanthanoid, that's if you look at the periodic table, there is another separated bar in the usual periodic table shape. So those elements are indeed produced. That's indirect evidence. We haven't seen whether actinides, uranium area, is indeed formed by neutron star merger, but we have another indirect evidence pointing to that direction.
Hmm.
And
so
these,
that was the starting point. Yep.
And these mergers would consist of this R process that's required?
Yeah, that's right. It's called R process, but it's one of the two big neutron capture process. So the above, I talked about the proton and the neutron just before this, my battery ran out. So the helium is a conserved place. So the two protons and two neutrons, it consists of. Up to iron, very roughly speaking, the number of proton and number of neutron is not so different. But beyond iron, there are well more a much larger number of neutrons existed than a proton in one nucleus. So the reason is simple, as also this is mentioned just before the battery ran out. So the proton is harder to combine protons, but it's easier to combine neutrons. because there is no Coulomb force there, no charge of in protons. Because of this reason, now it is possible to form heavier elements by adding a lot of neutrons. That's why it's called the neutron capture process. Depending on the condition, basically depending on how much, how many neutrons you have in your box, sometimes it's, the process happens very quickly. It's called a rapid neutron capture process. Sometimes it's happens only slowly. It's called the slow neutron capture process. It's called the S process. So the combination of these S process and R process, heavy elements are produced. Some elements are produced by more S process. The example is barium, for example. The example for R process element is the famous one is europium and gold uranium. So these elements are mainly produced by rapid neutron capture process. Slow process, we kind of know the normal stars can form slightly heavier than the sun. Quite a lot of stars can form this S process element toward the end of their life. That's, I know my close collaborators, also the co-author of the paper, they are working on this slow neutron capture process for a long time. Rapid is harder, though, because as you can imagine, you have to have a lot of neutrons in a small area. Otherwise, this process does not happen. Very special place where a lot of neutrons exist. That's the answer is very easy. The answer is neutron star, the star made of neutrons. But neutron star is stable. So if you have only one neutron star, nothing happens. But if you have two neutron star, and if you merge them, there must be some special thing happen. So that's the main idea of the neutron star merger. And then also from another relativistic effect, that is the gravitational wave. That's also another signature of to prove the neutron star merger event. So that's half of the story, actually, about this formation of gold. The rest half was I included this effect of neutron star merger in the model, and then found that still not enough. I can't make enough gold that exists in the sun. And then now we propose that there must be another source, like very special supernova, that's our prediction, should contribute to the formation of at least a half, maybe most of gold.
And you believe that this would be an undiscovered type of stellar explosion, or a lot
correct.
More
that's
of...
undiscovered. Although it has been predicted for many years in a computer, we can simulate now explosion of stars as well, quite well. It needs supercomputer, it's very difficult to simulate, but it is possible to show some nice explosion of stars in a computer. So with certain condition, we know that this thing can happen. That physical point of view, it is known, but in an astronomical point of view, it's not known because we don't see them by telescope yet.
So, なんか、さっきみたいな、その、まあ、重力波もそうだし、その、ニュートロンスターズのメージャーとか、まあ、今回みたいな、これが見つかれば、これが観測できれば、いろんなことが急にわかるみたいな、イベントってどれぐらいの頻度で起きるものなんですか?
So the neutron star merger in Japan is Chūsei-shi is neutron star, and then the merger, so Chūsei-shi gattai. It sounds very, very weird in Japanese. Neutron star merger sounds very popular, but I don't know why in the science. Yeah, it's I think it's harder to learn science in Japanese because of this language. You know, it's very the impression is very solid, very Yeah. Not fancy. Anyway, this neutron star merger, they are happening a lot. Even now, somewhere in the universe, it's happening, but not nearby. So therefore, we cannot detect. We cannot see them with light. We also cannot detect the gravitational wave.
Mm.
So it's very difficult, rare to have that such event in an accessible area.
Mm.
And also the other rare type of supernova, similar. They still happen. They may be happening right now, but we can't detect them.
Hmm.
It's rare. So, only one out of, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, only one out of a thousand normal supernova. That rareness I'm talking about.
Hmm.
You said that neutron stars are stable, so they don't have any fusion occurring?
No, it's after the supernova explosion, everything just finished.
So is it just neutrons or is there other?
It is made of neutrons. However, there is some sometimes it's rotating and it's cause a radio pulse and it's observed as pulsar. So in that way, we know the neutron star exists.
And that's also,
yeah.
Is that the only empirical, or is that, that's the only observation we have of neutron stars is the pulsars and gravitational waves?
Direct one is yes. Indirect one is, so the many stars actually for in a system combining with other stars. The sun is single star. The sun is not a pair, with another star, but many stars in the universe is in a binary or even triple system. And what we see is a neutron star is formed in a binary system. And then sometimes they are getting some material from the neighbor star. So in this way, we see some emission on the surface of a neutron star. In another case, we see the motion of the companion star, and then from the motion there must be some very heavy stuff nearby. Mm. And then from the estimate we can guess whether it should be neutron star or maybe very, this is even more massive, so should be black hole. We don't see them by eye, but from the motion of surrounded star we can guess. So that's indirect evidence of this neutron star, also black hole.
The neutron stars have a fairly small radius or diameter?
Yeah, very small, very small, kilometer scale.
Wow, like smaller than Earth or not that small?
Yeah, much smaller. I don't have the number now, so you could ask. Yeah.
That's, I don't know if that's scary or what. Like if you the gravity must be so powerful on the surface.
Yeah, so powerful. So that the elements are already became into neutrons.
So you wouldn't
it's
be able.
Very different condition.
It would be impossible to land a spacecraft like on the surface. It would just get crushed.
It's get crushed or some what will happen? Some other this disruption will happen. I think it's tidally disrupted before even reach to the surface, I think.
What does that mean, tidally disrupted?
You know, it's the same for the black hole. So if your material is falling in, it's stretched. Because of, yep. And we can't have this shape.
着陸とかのレベルじゃない。
It's just so weird to think that that's real and it's like out there.
Yeah, 想像できない。
But it's like a really dangerous thing for like people to mess with.
Yeah.
And they merge, right?
They merge. And they merge to create gold. It's difficult to go there and hunt the fresh gold they create.
できたての。
And when they merge and create the
できたての
king, does the gold just fly out in all directions, or does it fly out sort of in a disc, or Do we know how the gold is emitted or dispersed?
Yeah, so the neutron star merger is not a huge explosion. There is some jet, so some matter is ejected, but not very much. Mm-hmm. So it's just that area becomes gold and other elements, but it's not massively distributed to wider area.
So
and probably, yeah.
So a lot of the gold stays with the neutron star?
Stays around there. And then naturally, it's distributed by the motion of interstellar matter gradually.
So there
diluted.
So there are particles of gold or
flying
atoms,
around.
Gold atoms, just flying through space?
Flying, floating around that area.
Wow.
And then along the time, it's dissolved. At one point, the next stars, another new star is born from that matter. And then some star may contain a lot of gold just by accident, because that particular golden star, is formed from the matter after the neutron star merger. So we actually know this. Although we don't detect gold, there are some stars have extremely high content of europium. Those stars exist. In a very special motion as well they have. So they're probably quite old stars, but we do have a handful sample of very europium-rich stars. Compared to the European abundance, the iron abundance is very small. So it's not just a metal-rich star, it's European-enhanced star. So this was another discovery 2015. Some other group, American team, have discovered this. So somehow this neutron star matter ejecta is trapped into this special star. So I guess those are the very good gold hunting spot. If I could go there, if I could pick the star I travel, I would definitely go to the European enhanced star, because it's likely that the gold is also enhanced. The danger there is in uranium should also be enhanced, so it may be radioactive. May have to wear some protected suit to visit the star.
Wow.
So, how did the gold end up on or in the Earth where we are?
So, originally it is made by other star, supernova and neutron star merger, probably the mix. And when the solar system is formed, the same as other planets, the Earth contain some amount of gold. But it's we can see them more because of volcanic activity on the Earth. So that's another story compared to other planets.
So normally, would it be deeper in the Earth without so much activity?
So I guess so. I am not so familiar with this the topic, but it should be deeper. But because of this mantle motion activity, I think it's easier to see near the surface in the case of the Earth, I think.
So volcanic activities produce gold?
No, I don't think so. No.
No, but the tectonics and stuff would allow it to move towards the surface, right?
そういうことか。I see.
Because gold is really dense, and so when the planets form, the densest stuff would be in the center, right?
Will tends to be, in the center.
I see.
Now, gold is really dense, so is there a bunch of gold in the Earth's core also? Is that...
I don't know. I don't know.
Is there a way to detect it, or
to dig into.
People have been trying to find gold for a long time. It's weird, yeah. You know.
We just have to drill.
And they've been looking for gold and treating gold as such a precious material long before we knew about, you know, neutron star mergers or our process or any of the truth about its origin. It's funny, we find out, you know, how amazing the process is that's required to ink to produce gold in the first place, but it doesn't change the market value of gold on Earth at all.
But I was interviewed by New York Times a few weeks ago, and then the interviewer said, "Should I buy gold now?"
Yeah, it's really interesting that we're fascinated by it just by the looks of it without even knowing how it formed, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like how the crows collect sparkly things. It's just, you know, we like sparkly stuff.
Gold is so special, though. It's so stable, and that's why it's like the best filling for your teeth.
Yeah, that's also because of the location of the periodic table, similar to silver and kappa. If you see that, they are on the same column. So because of the atomic structure, they are shining. Also, some other properties also related. That's chemistry area, not my expertise. This is interesting because in nuclear physics, it's also harder to form this gold. So this is a nuclear synthesis. Nuclear physics point of view, it's also harder to form gold.
Gold is pretty cool.
Yeah. Easier to form silver and slightly easier to form copper. So that's the order of this importance on the earth for human beings as the same order.
It's used as a conductive metal for electrical connections.
Yep.
And you can eat it. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. 日本とか特にね、金箔とか金粉とか。
金粉入りのお酒とか
ね。You're eating the neutron star merger.
Yeah, we're eating a piece of neutron star merger.
That's so strange. And we eat it only because it looks pretty to us, right? Like, there's no other reason.
No.
It's really strange to think about.
Maybe lucky. If we eat shining stuff.
Yeah. 不思議。
Yeah.
そっか。
How did you learn to speak English so well?
I have I'm glad to hear that actually. So I educated in Japan. I got the all education up to PhD in Japan. So I didn't, I was not able to speak English very well. Even after PhD, I did postdoc in Germany. After that, Australia. And then I guess my language improved since I moved to UK. Also, I am teaching a lot at the university now. So I have to talk.
It's a lot of different accents, right, that you have moved through.
Yeah, that I think you may pick from my accent too, I think. Some, it's a bit of mixture because of this history.
I mostly hear British accent, though.
Well, it probably adapts to wherever the most recent country.
Yeah, that's true. でもじゃあすごい、もう本当に大人になってからってことですよね。
そうなんです。So, but I think I'm not bilingual, so I don't completely think in English when I am talking in English. I'm still thinking Japanese and translate very quickly in my head. So I think that's in a...
That's もっとすごいthan an average bilingual, though. You know, to be able to translate so fast. Not all the bilinguals can do that, so 逆にすごい。
So I'm not bilingual in the true meaning, I think.
How are you motivated to get a PhD in, I'm not sure what you were studying. I'm assuming astronomy or astrophysics.
Yeah, so I was at the, I went at the university, I went to astronomy department, but theoretical work is, it's called astrophysics, so it actually doesn't matter so much. Yeah, I was interested in stars, and then a big change happened at the, when I was a high school student. I read a book, The Brief History of the Universe by Stephen Hawking. So I really loved it. I wanted to learn more about cosmology. So I got, I started from the beauty of stars. So I was more, you know, astronomer side. But after reading the book, I am interested in more theoretical side. So I moved toward astrophysics side.
Wow.
And went into the university. And I actually, since high school time, I really wanted to study astronomy and astrophysics at a university. So, and I realized, oh, I have to go to a good university. Oh, in that case, I have to study harder. Otherwise, I can't pass the entrance exam. So that was the main motivation to start learning. And even at the university, you know, I wanted to go to a department of astronomy to do more advanced learning. And then later on, more and more, so went to master and went to PhD, just because I wanted to learn more. And I guess the same, my most favorite thing is still learning. So.
Wow, it's amazing that, なんか、その高校生とかの時から、あ、もうこれがやりたい、これに興味があるって分かって、で、その道に進んで、今もそのワクワクしながら、その仕事をできるってすごい珍しいですよね。
そうですね。ラッキーなケースだと思います。
And yeah, also to go and work in this field, overseas must have been a pretty crazy experience.
Yeah, I wanted to have such crazy experience. So when I, you know, during the PhD, I had a chance to know various researchers over the world. And then I just wanted to go out. I wanted to see a different world. So again, during PhD time, I have decided that I'm going out after PhD. I would like to live outside of Japan. That's already determined. And then, I was thinking, you know, the English I can, at that time, I was, I thought, well, English I can speak, but other language, other world, like Germany, I don't know. And then that sounds cool, even cooler. So I want to go to non-English speaking country. That's how I
know. Mr. Ranger.
But it turned out it's not an easy choice. You know, that it's in English, it's possible to communicate at least. But German, I did very, very basic of German language at the university, but only basic. And then when I started living in Germany, so like everyone just speaks German. All the signs, all the letters written in German, TV, all German. I have no idea what's going on. Every day, every moment, I'm lost. So it was, in the end, not an easy choice at all. But
how long were you there for?
I was living 3 years. The beginning was harder, but you know, later on, it's always possible to break the barrier. Always it is possible. So toward the end, I enjoyed the life in Germany. I also took some course to speak German a bit more. It's very interesting that each country people behave differently, think differently. There is also a universal way to become friends. I think that's universal law to survive as well. Yeah, I really enjoyed the life in Germany in the end. Now I can say that.
And then go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. It's okay.
You moved to Australia after that?
After so after Germany, I was briefly in Japan. I was also looking for a job to become a faculty position in Japan for a while. But I got a better offer from Australia. So that was the reason. It's a bit different reason. I moved to Australia because, not because I was thinking about it, but because I just got a good offer. So it was very good, prestigious fellowship. There's no duty. It's just I can do whatever I want for 5 years.
Wow.
So that sounded great to me. So I decided to move. So at that time, I've never thought about living in Australia. Australia, I know where it is. It's very close. English speaking country. Okay. Maybe I've done non-English speaking country already. So maybe nice to go to English speaking country next time. So, and I moved there, without knowing so much.
And how was it?
It's great. It's big. Also very different. In Australia, the nature is a lot more, a lot stronger than human beings. All controlled by the nature.
like how?
And people, bushfire, for example.
Oh, I see.
Just trees start burning because of the nature. The eucalyptus is easy to get ignited and started burning and fire. And people don't, you know, people try to minimize the risk, but it's not possible to control it. In Japan, as a Japanese also, we know that, you know, sometimes nature get very tough, like earthquake or a big typhoon comes, which destroy the valuable stuff, human life, completely, suddenly. But in Japan, it's not daily thing. You know, sometimes we have, if we are lucky, we have such natural disaster. In Australia, its basis is that nature is tougher. And the sunshine is strong, and it's very wild, dry rains. Every year, Australia is lack of rain. You know, every year, some area get dry, or some area, if rain starts, some area got flooded.
Sounds tough.
When you said nature is stronger than humans in Australia, I thought you were going to bring up the insects. The spiders,
yeah.
And stuff.
Snakes, deadly one, really deadly one. It's floating around. So even at the institute, you know, when we have a cafe in the morning, the people are chatting. Oh, look, outside the window, there is a brown snake. It's deadly. If you get bitten, you'll die immediately.
What a survival.
You know, when we go to the bathroom and in the wall, there is it red bug? That's again really small, but deadly.
Oh my god.
Yeah. My sister lives in Australia now, so I see her posting something that tried to kill her once in a while.
Oh god. So. Where in Australia were you?
So I was in Canberra. It's a capital city, but it's not like Tokyo. It's capital, but it's very small. Also, it's small city surrounded by huge nature. The story is a bit different in Sydney and Melbourne. Those are a big city. Also, lots of entertainment is ongoing. But Canberra, although it is capital city, it's some people say it's boring. I actually loved it. The mixture, very living in a wild place, which I have not done in my life, but I enjoyed. And in Canberra, so the place I went is the Australian National University. So it's that's why that university is located in Canberra. And I was living on it's called Mount Stromlo, where a few telescopes located there about 10 or 20 years ago. It's quite good, the observatory. But Australia is very flat, so there are not so high mountains. So it's called Mount Stromlo, but it's like a hill. You can climb up 5 foot.
It's not like Mauna Kea or something.
It's not like a mountain. And on that mountain, there was also a residential house as well. I was living one of the house on the Mount Stromlo. So you can imagine that's that used to be a telescope site, but not anymore because in 2003 there was a big fire which burned all of the telescope of the observatory. So I was living one of the survived all the brick house on the mountain.
Wow.
So such a wild area. neighbor.
the telescopes were damaged by that?
Yeah, all melt down, all melt.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So some domes, some existed there. It became a park. It's also, people can visit there, but they don't do observing anymore. Also, they have slightly better site, not in Canberra.
Is the new site less burnable?
They are also so the new site is called Siding Spring Observatory. That's near Sydney, but near in Australian standard is 7 hours by car.
Oh man!
that site was slightly better condition in terms of sky. So that in Canberra also the pollution from our life. Light, so the sky is not so dark. So that's another reason that Australia does not continue the Mount Storm Observatory. But the another site is 7 hours from Sydney, so it's better condition. But that area also almost got burnt down a few years ago. Again, there was a fire and people are worrying, our biggest telescope of Australia may get burned. The fire is like a few kilometers away or something. There was some news and fireman went there and to protect. Finally, they managed some. So the telescope survived, but there is some accommodation nearby, and that building was burned.
Oh my god!
So,
it sounds pretty stressful.
Very different the life, and people talk about this at over coffee by laughing.
Wow.
They have to evacuate. Ha ha ha. So that's a different level.
Yeah, they're pretty...
like, oh, there must be a way to avoid that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess what else can you do? You just, after so many generations, you just have to kind of laugh about it, I guess.
I guess. So now you're in the UK.
Yep. It's again different. All of the places are different. UK is a interesting place actually. In terms of astronomy, it's a good place. So there are a lot of universities. So the UK itself make a lot of effort for education. Collect a lot of students, not only from UK, but also all over the world, and educate them. So for that purpose, UK also collect a lot of researchers over the world as well, and I am one of them. It's very international.
Mm-hmm.
Are there observatories in the UK?
There is, but not very good ones. You can imagine. It's cloudy in the UK.
Is it cloudy the entire UK?
I would say yes, of course. No! The sunny day is our number of sunny days is the average. They will definitely say that. But yeah, my impression is pretty much cloudy. I was in Australia, but every day it's sunny compared to that, not different.
Yeah, I feel like their definition of cloudy or sunny is different from mine. Like when I was working there briefly, when it's kind of ちょっと kosame ぐらい だったら people were like, yeah, like let's just go outside. And I was like, でも降ってるけどみたいな。 定義が違う。雨じゃない。濡れただけとか。
It's just wet, not rain. It's coming from the sky, it's raining. And also their sunshine is also tiny, they appreciate. I should say we now, but anyway. they appreciate the tiny amount of sunshine. This is sunny, so nice, they say. But from from Japanese standard. Mm. A bit of sunshine.
Right.
So any amateur astronomy is very difficult in the UK?
It is not easy, but although astronomy is really big in the UK, so there are a lot of amateur astronomers. Some even have a telescope at home and trying to hunt some stars. The condition is not very good, but there are quite a few amateur astronomers as well.
Do you think it's more, there are more in the UK than in Japan, or Japan would have more? Or
Japan also have a lot of amateur astronomers as well. Some are seriously build their own telescope, small one, but there are quite serious amateur astronomers as well in Japan. By number, I am not sure. But what I am sure is not just these maniac as big astro fans, but general people, the interest for general people is different. That's what I found. So in UK, for example, even in English, when I say supernova, quite a lot of people understand what is supernova. At least they know. I heard about that, not the new star, maybe the, some explosion of star. People have some vague idea. While in Japanese, I think not many people actually know what is choshinse.
You mentioned it earlier. You mentioned it earlier, but it's because of how it's translated, right? I always felt like, I mean, my native language is Japanese, but sometimes it's easier to understand in English when it comes to this kind of technical terms, because Japanese words don't really match what I imagine. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for example, I don't know why it's called choshinse.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah.
It makes some sense in English, but it's kind of like supernova. Is there like a normal nova that's not super? But people don't think about it that literally in English the way you do in Japanese.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it's just, it gives you a different impression. Like, そのさっきの中性姿勢とかもそうだし、なんか日本語の方が分かりづらいですよね。
Yep, another example in nuclear physics in English and 原子核物理 in Japanese. General relativity versus 一般相対論. The latter sounds very challenging, actually.
It does, yeah. It does, yeah, it does sound way more challenging.なんかそれもあるかも。なんか英語の方がまだ興味を持ちやすいというか、あ、自分でも分かりそうって思うけど、日本語はなんか謎すぎる。
You can't just make it all カタカナ。スーパーノーバーでいいんじゃない？
ね、と思うけど。
Yeah, that's one aspect, I think. Another aspect is actually the, on the news.The daily conversation is different. So we use it relatively. So that's already a daily word. But in Japanese, we never say 相対論的.
Right, right.
We don't use the term daily life. So it's harder to imagine the meaning.
That's true.
It seems like something only an expert would say.Whereas in English...
But that's also on purpose as well, I think. In Japan, the academia is separated. So they wanted to establish a very new word, which is sounded even more difficult to normal people, I think.
Yeah, and I think the language, how English and Japanese work are really different.In terms of, like, in English, I think you try to make the word as close as possible to the idea itself. なんか you, it feels like it feels like people try to really like nail it. But in Japanese, it's kind of like, もうちょっとふわふわしててもいいやみたいな。なんか、I don't really think that people try to like really nail it. So maybe that's why we don't use a lot of words like その relative とか、relatively speaking とか、英語だったら言うけど。In Japanese, it's もうちょっとふわふわしてる。So. But then in academic terms, you have to like actually nail it. So it, you have to use more difficult terms. So maybe that's why there's such a big gap. Oh, what is this? All right, I just heard some.
Yeah, I also heard.
Oh, it's what the it's Saturday night, so the なんだっけ the
日の用心?
Yeah,
日の用心?
Yeah, for the turn off your gas or whatever, right? They they clack the wood together.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing that out here.
子供以外以来初めて聞いたかもしれない。子供の時以来。
Really?
Yeah.
They always do it around here, around this time.
あ、そうなんだ。
I don't think it's really about fire though. It's kind of like
tradition,
security. Kind of lets people know that there's like a patrol type of thing. まあ、わかんないけど。Fires are dangerous.
Maybe we are talking about the bushfire, so
yeah, that's the theme. That's the theme for the day. Is there anything that you would like to advertise or promote while you're here? Like, なんか本が出ましたとか、もしなんかそういう宣伝するものがあればぜひ。
I'm still working on the same subject, and then we may have a really big news on the new discovery as well.
Whoa, that's exciting.
The paper is under review, so that's another new ongoing.
Are there any hints? Is there
is it about the, you know, the site, the origin of elements and then site of the gold production? So that we are still keep working very actively. So there may be more news to come. So that's one of the research things I'm doing.
I actually
that's so exciting.
I wanted to ask you about it's a weird question, but your experience as a woman in a field that I'm assuming is almost very much dominated by men.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like in your classrooms and stuff, was it mostly males that were in your classes? And
in the UK, no. So now, of course, the this country, the United Kingdom, has been making a lot of effort to improve that. And now in a mathematics class, I have 50% of female fraction. Physics a bit lower, 30-40%. But among the students, still not bad. And toward the faculty level, the female fraction get like 20%, maybe 15%. That's below the average of the world. So in terms of female fraction, roughly 20% is the whole average. Some Latin countries, France, Italy, and Argentina have higher female contribution. The Argentina is the highest. It's 50%, almost 49% or something, almost 50%.
And that's for astronomy or astrophysics?
For astronomy, astronomy. So, and there is always a tendency, in math, chemistry, there are more women, while physics, engineering, less women. So that tendency exists to all country. Speaking about Japan, the female fraction is extremely low.
Right.
So I was only one student among 10 astronomy departments. So already it was 10%. That's undergraduate level. And then higher, higher. If you go higher, higher, the rate becomes lower. So in Japan, there are the number of researchers a lot, but I can count the number of female faculty in Japan. It's only, five or something. It's very small number.
Wow.
Female professor, I should say. Very small number, extremely small. And it's been debated, discussed already, pointed out many ways, but it's not improved, maybe even becoming worse.
Worse.
I think you could, I mean,
worse. Yep.
I think you're a great inspiration to young women that might see such a path as discouraging or uninteresting.
Yeah, so that's called role model. Sometimes it's, it's very important to see the example or how you could become in the future. That's a very important factor. So to do that, in other countries, we try to keep a balance. For example, if we have a conference, we try to have enough number of female speaker so that the female student don't get scared off. So at every step, we have this monitoring. But in Japan, no. Even some people mention, well, there are not enough female speaker. Well, but there is no good women in this field, period. Even there are some good students in the audience. They see no women is contributing in this field. So how they can stay?
Yeah,
this is really terrible. Sorry, I'm now in a complaining mode.
Well,
but it's a huge. It's definitely a huge problem, right? Like, なんかそのループになってるから、なんかそもそもなんだろう、女性のサイエンティストあんまり見たことないってなっちゃうと、自分のオプションに入ってこないし、仮にそこをくぐり抜けてオプションになったとしても、なんか、あ、すごい男社会そうだなと思ったら、やめようかなって思っちゃう人も多いだろうし、もうなんか負の連鎖ですもんね。
But look how cool and special Chiaki-san, is. Very unique, and I think there's so much opportunity for women that do decide to follow a path like yours.
And I always say this: I don't have any disadvantage actually in terms of ability. So research in particular theoretical research, you don't have to carry heavy stuff or no physical disadvantage.
Yeah. Right.
All you have to do is just sit down, read paper, think, write a programming code sometimes. I don't see any disadvantage as being women. So potentially, no problem. I think it should be 50%.
Yeah. Right.
That's I keep saying loudly whenever I see
I agree.
Female students and also young people.
And if you have passion, nothing can really stop you. And it seems like you've been very passionate following the whys, the question of why. And I hope it's very inspirational for young women today that are thinking about what they might be interested in doing.
Anything you can do. Well, Kamala Harris was saying a few days ago, right, at her winning speech, she says, every little girl is watching this now. See, this country is a country of possibility, that she said.
Yeah.
That's exactly true, I thought.
Yeah, 本当にそう。本当にそう思う。
You know, I... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, really, it's not... It becomes a non-option, when some gender is dominating some particular job or field. I think growing up, I was probably affected by it a lot without even knowing. So I think that, just the fact that you're on the show talking about your job actually makes a humongous difference. So really, thank you for coming. 急に連絡したにもかかわらず。
I wanted to ask one last thing about, I saw your simulations that you've created of, galaxy, luminosity, over its formation. How are you making
these?
Yeah, on
my wife,
on your beautiful, beautiful website with the tatami mat background.
If people search with my name, I think anyone can find the website, and then also the movie is also there. So please take a look. Yeah, so it's actually a big simulation. So I am making galaxies in my computer. Even right now, various galaxies are forming in a remote computer. So not on my laptop. The laptop is not enough powerful. So I'm using a supercomputer. Facilities in the UK now, but I was using various computers as well.
Wow.
So what I'm doing is put physics in a box. Now we know how gravity works, how hydrodynamics works. That there is a way to solve this. And then to make galaxies, I have to form stars. That part we don't know very well, but let's assume some reasonable condition to form stars. Stellar evolution, we know very well. So once the life of star, lifetime of star depends on the mass of the stars I mentioned earlier. So if I form the sun, they stay long and produce heavy element on the end, maybe up to carbon. While if I form very massive stars, they explode as supernova quickly and produce iron. Mm. If it's very rare one, maybe even gold. So I'm counting these, all the number of stars, number of supernovae, and the production of elements. I'm integrating from the beginning, from the big one to now.
Wow.
And then showing how much stars exist in stars, how much elements as well. So the movie shows only the amount of stars simplified, but in the same computer, I am also counting the amount of gold as well.
Wow.
So those simulation is used for my scientific journal papers. So the movie is one of them. So it's a big computer simulation following all the formation of stars, growth of galaxies, and production of elements.
So you don't know exactly what's going to happen at the end of the simulation when you start it?
So from this research, we can guess, for example, we know the condition. If I want to make Milky Way type galaxies, I have to start from a fairly isolated area, plus with a large angular momentum, it has to be rotating fast. While if I want to make a very... The opposite type of galaxy is called early type galaxies, elliptical galaxies. So it's like spheroids. So in that case, it's better to start with a different initial condition. So those things we know. So I kind of, I know what will happen. But details, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, even I was going to make Milky Way, but there was some another galaxy merged into galaxy also merges. Yeah. So we talked about neutron star merger earlier, but galaxies also merge each other. It's called galaxy merger. So sometimes it happened. And my Milky Way galaxies got broken. I didn't want to make spheroids. I wanted to make Milky Way, nice disk spiral galaxy, but I failed those things.
So if it produces spheroids and not a spiral galaxy, then you know that your initial conditions were wrong.
Yeah, wrong in the end. Yes, I thought I was right, but
And so,
面白い.
So do you know the future of our Milky Way galaxy? Can you put that in the computer and see what it looks like?
Myself, I don't do that, but some other people are trying to simulate not only Milky Way, just to simulate the local group it's called. So Milky Way is a member of a local group, including Andromeda galaxies, and then trying to see what will happen. So these simulations people are trying to do. The answer is, I don't know, which we don't know so well after how our galaxy system evolved.
We must see some very old galaxies, right?
That's also called the first galaxy. Is also that another subject people are working on? Mm. A lot of the first one, the first galaxies formed just after the Big Bang. Uh-huh. So by definition, the first galaxy should not contain any heavy elements.
Right.
Mm.
The galaxy with the stars made of only the first stars that should be the first galaxy. We have not seen them yet.
Mm.
We also don't know how they evolve and how they survive.
And also
that normal old galaxy as well. Spheroidal galaxies tend to be older than Milky Way.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of topics.
Yeah.
In astronomy, I can go on forever. But...
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so impressive what you're doing. The fact that you have galaxies forming on your supercomputer in the cloud right now is
crazy.
Really cool.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not doing that right now. And I don't think many other people are either, you know?
No way.
Yeah. So computer simulation is good because it's running even if I'm not working, even if I'm on this podcast. My computer is working for me. So I spend a lot of time on programming for the simulation code. But once it's done and once it's running, I can do something else. So that's another good aspect.
So do you think programming is a good skill to have for your field?
Yes, definitely. Necessary skill.
Wow.
Also, observational astronomy as well. So now we have a bigger telescope and then also survey, very strategic survey. So the number of objects are so thousand stars, thousand galaxies we can observe. And it's not possible to analyze by hand anymore. So people have to use a lot of programming. The recent fashion is use the machine learning so that the computer evolve themselves to analyze the data. So definitely computer and programming is the necessary skill.
Are you using the machine learning as well?
Myself, no. I prefer to program from the beginning by myself.
Sugoi.
So you need to have crazy mathematical abilities and programming language skills, lot of curiosity.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I am especially in the sense that to the skill I just developed during this PhD and also the research time afterwards. I think many people can reach to my level, I think. I see many more people, actually, really genius people in the research field. But many people can do many things.
And those simulations that you create are very pretty and fun to look at too. Like it must be very satisfying when it's done, you know, to watch it, watch the universe.
Yeah, that's nice. It's nice to make. It also takes time as well.
I bet.
But in a academic field, the making movies is not particularly important thing. So what we have to do is analyze the data, compare to the observation data, and write a journal paper. So this is a really big thing we have to do daily. Making animation is nice so that I can show to other people as well. So in that purpose, it's useful, but not, yeah.
Well, we'll definitely post the link to your website so that people can watch it.
Thank you. Yeah. I should have made many more. I didn't actually have spend enough time on making this. So nowadays, you know, lots of people, computer graphics people can make even nicer movie.
Mm.
So I should have spent more time, but that's the best I can do so far.
I mean, they could make a nicer movie using the same data that you already have.
Yeah, there have been such a plan. So I talked to with quite a few people, but yeah, it didn't happen so far. But
I think those those materials are really good from the standpoint of getting people interested in the subject. There are so many papers and there are so many discoveries, but oftentimes it's mostly text. Maybe there's an artist's rendering or something, like artist's image of, like, you know, here's what we think a pulsar looks like or something. But yeah, I mean, I would like to see.
Yeah, I agree. We should spend more time to making a nice images and also movie.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe we need more people to in this field, astronomy, astrophysics.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, there are, like, we have young audience too, students. So if they're listening, then...
Yeah, join us. Yep,
definitely. Yes.
Join us in figuring out the universe.
Yeah, sounds super exciting, right?
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to hear about your upcoming potential breakthrough.
Yeah.
So please let us know when that happens.
We'll do.
Please. We'll definitely talk about it.
We'll do.
Well, thank you so much for such a long time.
Thank you. I'm awake now. I was sleeping when we started and forgot to connect the battery charger, but after that I'm awake.
Your hard drive is filled with little spinning galaxy simulations.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Please また ぜひ お話し
ければ
嬉しいです。Yeah, thank you so much.
I actually saw the list of previous guest on your website, and I saw some people appear repeatedly. So I saw.
Yeah.
Plus one person I saw, Kokubo's Komatsu-san.
Max Planck.
同期なんですよ。
あ、へえ。そうなんだ。
Oh wow.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
That's crazy. I didn't know that when I sent you an email.
Yeah.
And that's the same institute I was. I was also Max Planck Institute Astrophysics in Munich. That's exactly the same where he is. We don't overlap, but I was there before he moved.
So-ka.
So I still visit the same place and then we go to VIA together.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice.
Yeah, Komatsu-san's popular. Nah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it seems like everybody knows him.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. For,
have a nice day.
Thank you. Hope the recording saves properly. That's my...
Yeah.
I'm sure it's perfect.
Okay, so
thank you so much.
収録をおしまいにします。 Okay, bye.
Bye.